This is episode 676 of the AWS podcast, released on July 15th, 2024.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the AWS podcast. Sam Lish here with you. Great to have you back. And we are running in two host availability zones today. So I'm joined by one of my other co-hosts, Gillian Ford. G'day, Gillian. How are you doing?
G'day, Simon. That joke never gets old.
See, this is the beauty of nerd jokes, is they're nerd jokes. So they're not meant to be funny. So they can't get less funny because they're not funny in the first place. We have a raft of really interesting updates, a broad variety today. So we're going to move through it at a rapid pace. And we're going to start with analytics. And we're happy to announce the Data Quality Definition Language enhancements, the DQDL enhancements, for AWS Glue Data Quality. Now, this is a feature of Glue that lets you measure and monitor the quality of your data and you create rules. And there are some new rule types that are coming into play. So now you have the not operator, new keywords like null, empty, and white spaces only, which could be useful. Composite rules, so you can author sophisticated rules and manage the evaluation order of those rules. And of course, our old friend, the where clause. So you can get a lot more sophisticated in terms of your data cleansing process. Amazon QuickSight has simplified building pixel-perfect reports with repeating sections. So this allows you to configure your report sections to automatically repeat based on the values of one or more dimensions in your data. Amazon Managed Streaming for Apache Kafka, or MSK. Their provisioned clusters now support in-place upgrades from N5 and T3 instance types to Graviton 3-based M7G. This is a one-click in-place process, which I recommend you do if it's available to you and you feel like it, because you can get up to 24% compute cost savings, 29% higher read and write throughput, and these instances use up to 60% less energy. So it's a win all round, and you can be a hero. Amazon Data Zone has introduced fine-grained access controls, so now you can access data at row and column levels and control that access. And Amazon Data Zone has introduced an API-driven open lineage-compatible data lineage visualization in preview. Now, Amazon Data Zone's data lineage feature captures and visualizes the transformation of data assets and columns, providing a view into the data movement from source to consumption. Using Amazon Data Zone's open lineage-compatible API, domain administrators and data producers can capture and store lineage events beyond what is available in Amazon Data Zone, including transformations in Amazon S3, AWS Glue, and other services. Data consumers in Amazon Data Zone can gain confidence in an asset's origin from the comprehensive view of its lineage, while data producers can assess the impact of changes to an asset by understanding its consumption. Additionally, Amazon Data Zone versions lineage with each event, so it means you can visualize your lineage at any point in time or compare transformations across an asset's or job's history. This historical lineage provides a deeper understanding of how data has evolved, which is essential for troubleshooting, auditing, and validating the integrity of your data assets. Amazon OpenSearch Ingestion has added support for ingesting data from self-managed sources. So if you are using self-managed OpenSearch, Elasticsearch, and Kafka clusters, you can do this automatically, and it eliminates the need to run and manage third-party tools like Logstash to migrate your data from those self-managed sources into the Amazon OpenSearch service. Amazon OpenSearch Ingestion has also added support to ingest streaming data from Confluent Cloud. And Amazon Managed Service for Apache Flink now supports Flink version 1.19, which includes new capabilities in the SQL API, like state TTL configuration and session window support. It also includes Python 3.11 support and a bunch of other improvements. And Amazon Managed Service for Apache Flink has also introduced two new APIs to query your operations on Flink applications. So you now have the list application operations and describe application operation APIs. And they have also introduced a new system rollback capability. This is a nice one. This lets you automatically revert your application to the previous running application version during Flink job submission if there are code or configuration errors. Not that you would ever make any code or configuration errors. You can now opt into this feature for improved uptime. And so if you get any errors as you're doing an update, you can just roll back. That feels good.
And more things that feel good, application integration. Amazon EventBridge announces a new console dashboard, providing you with a centralized view of your EventBridge resources, metrics, and quotas. Amazon EventBridge Pipes now supports AWS Private Link, allowing you to access pipes from within your VPC without traversing the public internet. EventBridge Scheduler adds additional universal targets with over 650 more AWS API actions, bringing the total to over 7,000, including Amazon Bedrock. And last, Amazon MQ now supports RabbitMQ version 3.13. Now, up next is artificial intelligence. And of course, there are a good number of updates in this one. So the first is AI21 Labs' Jamba Instruct, which is a powerful instruction following large language model, is now available in Amazon Bedrock. Fine-tuned for instruction following and built for reliable commercial use, Jamba Instruct can engage in open-ended dialogue, understand context and subtext, and complete a wide variety of tasks based on natural language instructions. With its 256K context window, Jamba Instruct has the capability to ingest the equivalent of an 800-page novel or an entire company's financial filings for a given fiscal year. This large context window allows Jamba Instruct to answer questions and produce summaries that are grounded in the provided inputs, eliminating the need for manual segmentation of documents in order to fit smaller context windows. With its strong reasoning and analysis capabilities, Jamba Instruct can break down complex problems, gather relevant information, and provide structured outputs. The model is ideal for common enterprise use cases such as enabling Q&A on call transcripts, summarizing key points from documents, building chatbots, and other use cases as well. So whether you're looking for assistance with coding, writing, research, analysis, creative tasks, or a general tasks assistant, Jamba Instruct is a powerful model that can streamline your workflow and accelerate time to production for your Gen AI enterprise applications. So right now, it's currently available in the US East 1 region, so that's the North Virginia region, in Amazon Bedrock. Next up, Amazon SageMaker Model Registry now supports cross-account machine learning model sharing. And we're excited to announce that Amazon SageMaker now allows admins to personalize the SageMaker Studio experience for their end users. Amazon SageMaker Canvas announces new capabilities for time series forecasting models. Amazon S3 Access Grants now integrate with Amazon SageMaker Studio for machine learning model training. S3 Access Grants help you to map identities in identity providers such as Active Directory or AWS Identity and Access Management Principles to your ML datasets in S3. Using the AWS SDK for Python Boto 3 plugin within Amazon SageMaker Studio Notebooks, this helps you easily use S3 Access Grants for ML training and inference. And last in AI is Evolutionary Scale's ESM3 1.4 billion open source language model is now generally available on AWS through Amazon SageMaker Jumpstart and AWS Health Omics. So fun fact, this model simulates 50 million years of evolution with a language model. Pretty neat. Evolutionary Scale, this is a Frontier AI Research Lab, which is a public benefit corporation, and it's dedicated to developing AI for biology's most complex problems. So this company, they've released this cutting-edge ESM3 family of models, and ESM3 is a biological frontier model family capable of generating entirely new proteins that have never existed in nature. ESM3 can generate proteins based on sequence, structure, and/or functional constraints, a novel programmable biology approach. This has been trained on billions of protein sequences spanning 3.8 billion years of evolution. ESM3 is one of the largest and most advanced generative AI models ever applied to biology. And if you like to geek out on cool use cases for AI, there's a really cool article on this on press.amazon.com. Definitely check out reading if you're curious to learn more.
It's pretty mind-blowing that amount of evolutionary data that's been captured in that model.
Yeah, it really is.
Let's talk about compute. AWS Lambda has introduced new controls to make it easy for you to search, filter, and aggregate your Lambda function logs. So you can now capture your logs in JSON structured format without having to bring your own logging libraries. Now, JSON format allows logs to be structured as a series of key value pairs, which allows you to easily search, filter, and analyze your logs. You can also control the log level, error, debug, info, etc., of your Lambda logs without making any code changes. So you can choose your desired logging granularity for your function without having to go through lots of different logs to find the right thing. Lastly, you can choose the CloudWatch log group to which Lambda sends your logs, so you can now easily aggregate logs from multiple functions within an application in one place and apply security governance and retention policies at the application level rather than applying them individually to every function. I actually used this the other day as I was writing some Lambda functions, like, oh, here's a new option for me. Click, and it was really nice. Amazon EKS now natively supports EC2 capacity blocks for ML. So this allows you to have assured and predictable access to GPU instances for your artificial intelligence and machine learning workloads. Amazon EKS introduces cluster creation flexibility for networking add-ons. So this allows you to easily install open source or third-party alternative add-ons or self-managed default networking add-ons using any Kubernetes lifecycle management tool. Amazon ECR now supports Open Container Initiative Image and Distribution Specification version 1.1. So this is the OCI Image and Distribution Specification. And this includes support for reference types, simplifying the storage, discovery, and retrieval of artifacts related to a container image, as well as a bunch of other improvements. Amazon Linux announces the availability of AL2023.5 with new versions of PHP and Microsoft.NET, as well as some other improvements as well. So if you want to keep up to date, do that. AWS Parallel Cluster 3.10 with support for Amazon Linux 2023 and Terraform has been made available. This lets you automate deployment and management of clusters similar to how you may use Terraform today, and automate other parts of your infrastructure. And this release includes things like support for connecting clusters to an external Slurm database daemon, and also a new allocation strategy configuration to allocate EC2 spot instances from the lowest priced to highest capacity availability pools to minimize job interruptions and save costs. The Amazon TimeSync service has expanded its microsecond accurate time to 27 EC2 instance types. So this is a really interesting capability that allows you to get local GPS disciplined reference clocks on your EC2 instance, and it makes it more easily to help you audio application events and doing measurements, etc. Accurate time is one of those really important things. So now you've got more of it. AWS Launch Wizard now adds programmatic deployment support through APIs and AWS CloudFormation templates. So you can get up and running really quickly. So you can choose to deploy your third-party applications on AWS, such as SQL Server Single Node, HA or FCI, SAP, and all supported workloads through the Launch Wizard APIs or CloudFormation resources, in addition to the console-based experience. Additionally, AWS Launch Wizard has also introduced APIs to programmatically retrieve application specifications for a simplified deployment experience.
Now we've got customer engagement and two quick updates here. So Amazon Q in Connect, which is a generative AI-powered assistant for contact center agents, now recommends step-by-step guides in real time, which agents can use to quickly take action to resolve customers' issues. Amazon Q in Connect uses the real-time conversation with a customer to detect the customer's intent and provides a guided workflow that leads an agent through each step needed to solve the issue, reducing handle time and increasing first contact resolution rates and customer satisfaction. So one example is, let's say there's a customer that contacts a financial services company. Amazon Q in Connect analyzes the conversation and detects the customer wants to open a retirement plan. Amazon Q in Connect would then provide the agent with a guide that enables the agent to collect the necessary information, deliver the required disclosures, and automatically open the account. And last from Amazon Connect is they now support the ability to preferentially route a contact within a queue to specific agents.
Let's talk databases. RDS for PostgreSQL now supports PL Rust crates, CERD and CERD JSON, regex and URL. So this is all about the ability to serialize and deserialize your data structures in your PL Rust user-defined functions. This release has a lot of good stuff. So if you're into that sort of thing, you're going to want to look into it. PostgreSQL 17 Beta 2 is now available in the AWS RDS database preview environment. So reminding you, this is the place you can test stuff out before a particular database instance moves into its generally available capability. It means you can do some pre-planning, look for any issues and any opportunities for improvement as well. An Amazon RDS multi-AZ deployment with two readable standbys now supports snapshot export to S3. Now, using two readable standbys is really useful if your workloads require lower write latency and more read capacity. And it also means you can do minor version upgrades and system maintenance with typically less than 1 second of downtime, which is pretty cool. And so you can now export these deployments with a snapshot to an Amazon S3 bucket. And the amazing thing is it runs in the background and it doesn't affect the performance of your cluster. I repeat, it doesn't affect the performance of your cluster. That is incredible. When you export a DB snapshot, Amazon RDS extracts the data from the snapshot and stores it in an Amazon S3 bucket. It's stored in Apache Parquet format that is compressed and consistent. So, and then you can start using the data directly through things like Amazon Athena and Amazon Redshift Spectrum. As an old-fashioned infrastructure guy, I'm amazed at the technology that went into making that happen because that was really hard. Amazon RDS for MySQL announces extended support for minor version of 5.744 RDS 2024.05.29. So if you need more support for that, you now have it. And RDS for DB2 now supports private offers on licensing through AWS Marketplace. So you can now get your own private offer as well as the existing public hourly license price. Amazon DocumentDB has announced IAM database authentication. And Amazon Aurora now provides additional monitoring information during upgrades, so you get more granularity so you can see what exactly is happening at any time.
Now we've got developer tools. Amazon Q Developer is now generally available in the Visual Studio IDE. Woohoo! Amazon Q Developer helps simplify the software development lifecycle by answering questions about technical topics, generating code, and explaining code. You can ask Amazon Q to answer questions such as, how do I debug issues with my Lambda functions locally before deploying to AWS? You can also request Amazon Q to generate code with prompts, being able to generate test cases for a function where you can reference that function name in the open file. Amazon Q Developer can also keep your software secure by highlighting security vulnerabilities. Always a great idea. You can click on a run a security scan from the margin menu, which will return a list of vulnerabilities. Currently, security scans only support C#, and you can also ask Q questions like updating your code and initiating actions with quick commands, all from the Amazon Q chat panel in your IDE. So when you ask Amazon Q a question, it uses the current file that is open in your IDE as context, including the programming language and the file path. AWS Code Build now enables customers to increase their build timeout up to 36 hours compared to the prior limit of 8 hours. AWS Code Build support for ARM-based workloads now run on AWS Graviton 3 without any additional configuration. Amazon Code Catalyst now allows conversion of source repositories to custom blueprints. Up next is end-user computing. AWS announces a new feature of Amazon Workspaces called Amazon Workspaces Pools that helps customers save costs by sharing a pool of virtual desktops across a group of users who get a fresh desktop every time they log in. This new feature provides customers the flexibility and choice to support a wide range of use cases like training labs, contact centers, and other shared environments. Some user settings like bookmarks and files stored in a central storage repository like S3 or Amazon FSx can be saved for improved personalization. Amazon Workspaces introduces support for Red Hat Enterprise Linux.
Which of course begs the question, is this the year of Linux on the desktop? Which is yet another very bad technical joke.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because every year is claimed to be the year of Linux on the desktop. That said, with the workspaces, you can have Red Hat Enterprise Linux, Ubuntu Desktop, Amazon Linux 2, and Microsoft Windows. So you have lots of choices. Let's talk about management and governance. AWS Managed Services, AMS Accelerate, now includes Trusted Remediator. Now, Trusted Remediator improves security, fault tolerance, performance, while simultaneously reducing your cost. AMS helps you operate AWS efficiently and securely, and it extends your operations team's capabilities with operational and security monitoring, incident detection, management, patch, backup, and cost optimization. There are updates and expansions to the AWS well-architected framework and Lens catalog. In fact, the latest update brings a comprehensive expansion to customers with expanded guidance on architectural best practices, which means you can build and maintain optimized, secure, and resilient workloads in the cloud. Some of the framework updates provide more recommendations for AWS services, observability, generative AI, and operating models. We've also refreshed the list of resources and overall framework structure. The update reduces redundancies, it enhances consistency, and it empowers customers to more accurately identify and address risks. We've also expanded the Lens catalog as well with additional industry best practices, including the new financial services industry lens, updates to the mergers and acquisitions lens, and also updates to the change enablement in the cloud white paper as well. AWS Control Tower has introduced an API to discover landing zone operations, so you can now programmatically retrieve a list of all landing zone operations that have happened in the last 90 days. And AWS Cloud Shell now supports Amazon Virtual Private Cloud. So you could always use AWS Cloud Shell, but now you can create your Cloud Shell environment in a VPC, which means you can use it securely within the same subnet as other resources in your VPC without the need for additional network administration. Let's talk about media services. Amazon IVS real-time streaming now supports up to 25,000 viewers. So previously it was 10,000 per stage per AWS region. Now you can increase it up to 25,000 so you can reach more folks. And AWS Elemental Media Tailor now supports the Common Media Application Format or CMAF segments for personalized HLS streams and will automatically transcode ad creatives to match that.
Now on to migration and modernization. AWS Application Migration Service now provides an action for installing the Dynatrace agent on your migrated instances. For each migrated server, you can choose to automatically install the Dynatrace agent to support your observability needs. We're excited to announce new capabilities for accelerating AWS mainframe modernization with machine learning and generative AI assistance. Using the latest generative AI models in Amazon Bedrock and AWS machine learning services like Amazon Translate, AWS Blue Insights makes it simple to automatically generate code and file descriptions, transform code from mainframe languages, and query projects using natural languages. Customers can now automatically generate summaries of source code files and SNPs, making it much easier to understand legacy mainframe applications. If a codebase has comments in languages other than English, with a click on the console, customers can view a translation of the comments into the English language. Blue Insights also makes it much faster to find information within files. Now customers can filter data on projects using natural language that Blue Insights automatically converts to specific Blue Age queries.
Onto the topic of networking and content delivery. A couple of really interesting updates here. The Elastic Fabric Adapter, EFA, now supports cross-subnet communication. So you can now have that cross-subnet communication within the same availability zone. This enhancement makes it possible to communicate with EC2 instances across subnets whilst benefiting from the low latency and high throughput that you get using EFA. Now, EFA is a network device that you can attach to your Amazon EC2 instance to accelerate high-performance computing and machine learning applications. Now, previously, EFA traffic was limited to the same subnet, so all instances had to be in the same subnet. Now you can have it going across different subnets for both existing and new instances. And another great update is for AWS Direct Connect. It now has availability of native 400 gigabits per second dedicated connections at selected locations. That's a whole lot of bandwidth. So this makes it easy, particularly for customers who have been aggregating multiple 100 gig links. You don't have to have a link aggregation group or a lag anymore. You can now have one of 400 gig connections, or you could probably link them together as well. But 400 gig, that's pretty amazing. On to the topic of security, identity, and compliance, one quick update here. Amazon GuardDuty EC2 runtime monitoring now supports Ubuntu and Debian OS. So now you can identify and respond to potential threats, including instances or self-managed containers in your AWS environment that have any specific network activity that's suspicious or that's querying IP addresses associated with cryptocurrency-related activity or Tor networks or Tor relays or any other kind of dodgy stuff. It can now pick it up. And finally, an update on the topic of storage. Amazon S3 access grants now integrate with open source Python frameworks. Now, this is kind of a big deal, and this is all delivered through the AWS SDK for Python Boto 3 plugin, which Gillian mentioned a little bit earlier. S3 access grants help you map identities in identity providers like Active Directory or IAM principles to your data sets in S3. Now, importing the Boto 3 plugin to your client replaces any custom code required to manage data permissions. So you can use the S3 access grants in open source Python frameworks like Django, TensorFlow, NumPy, Pandas, and more. Now, basically, the Boto 3 plugin has the ability to automatically request, cache, and refresh temporary credentials issued by S3 based upon an access grant. As a result, the permissions of your Python-based S3 client will be determined based on the user group membership in an IDP. So this is a big deal to make it easy to integrate what is a far better way to manage access to your S3 data. Gillian, there was lots in that particular set of updates. Anything that leapt out to you in particular?
There was a lot. I really like the AI 21 Labs Jamba Instruct launch. I think that's going to resonate with a lot of people. And I think what I also like about this one is for the folks here who are listening, maybe they go back and look at it, go and look at the docs. I think it really starts to show that there are so many different models that all have different strengths. So you can really, based on what exactly it is that you're trying to do to build in your application, you can really find the model that has been trained to be the strongest for your particular use case. So I think this one stands out to me. Simon, what about you?
There was a few. I mean, I have to say, I have a soft spot for the ability for the mainframe migration stuff to now be able to convert Rex scripts. I know that's very exciting for everyone.
A lot of painful memories. It sounds like maybe that it's.
but the probably the ones I liked was like a collection of things where you can now migrate to AWS Graviton 3
yes.
as your chipset. And because I just see that as such a big win. I mean, you get performance boost, you get less energy use. It's like, as a technology person, it's not often you can go back to your business stakeholders and deliver a really big win that actually took you very little effort. But this is a great story. Like if you run the numbers on this, you're probably going to have a great story to tell. So I'd recommend two things. Firstly, do it. But secondly, record the before and after data and take it to whoever pays the bill
yes.
and show them.
100%. Yeah. That's always an area when customers come to me and they're like, hey, let's talk about areas that we can cost optimize. That's always an area that I explore with them as well as looking at Graviton.
Yeah. It's such low hanging fruit. It's yep. like, why wouldn't you do it? Gillian, how do folks get in touch with you?
Miss Jill Ford on X, and I'll probably be a bit late after we record this comes out, but I would say the New York Summit, which is coming up this week, but we are in the thick of summit season. Simon, are you going to be at the Canberra Summit?
I will indeed be at the Canberra Symposium. I'll be there.
Symposium.
So if you see me, say good day.
Should.
And if you want to send us feedback the old-fashioned way, AWS podcast@amazon.com is the way to do it. And until next time, keep on building.